Getting some conflicting reports on Friday weddings. Hayes Man, Hall of Fame, OHL, AHL linesman, said Fridays are good. You get the weekend to recoup. Other people say garbage. Friday, Sunday's garbage.
No.
I don't know.
No. Listen, Friday, I totally agree with that. I woke up on Saturday feeling like a Sunday, and I was like, man, I get to ease into this. I just got to be home.
Guess why everybody likes them? Because they get the day off work like you.
Yeah. That's fine by me. Listen, it was early into the process in September, but it is what it is. I was there. We had a great time down in Niagara. Sundays, a lot of those can be like religious, like Jewish weddings are on Sundays, and that's a different vibe on a Sunday night, man. You got to work the next day. You're out there just getting after it.
Dude, there is not one person that is happy about a Sunday wedding. Not one.
Oh, it might surprise you, man, especially if you're
younger. Unless they say forget about it on Monday. Forget work. Forget about any obligations. It's done.
Unless they work in an industry, too. Like Sunday night's an industry night in the bars. Those are the best nights out because those are the workers get out and get after it. I mean, it depends. Like Sundays are some people's Saturdays. Like not everyone has the same schedule.
That's right.
But I don't mind. Like I actually am thinking now, I got married on a Friday. But it was a destination wedding.
See, that's different. Destination changes everything. Destination weddings people have on a Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter if everyone's flying down.
Right.
You know, I've been to a wedding on a Tuesday within the province. Tuesday night. Yeah.
Get married next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Be there. You're like, all right.
And there was an hour commute in between the ceremony and reception. I'm like, what is going on here?
Dude, everyone's got a different thing. I used to see it with a guy in Carolina. He had one night a week he'd like to go out. It was a Monday.
Yeah.
It was his time to shine, man. Monday night. He was – and he said he had had the best – I'm like, come on, man. Nobody's – he said, you'd be shocked.
Wow,
you'd be shocked what you could sniff around and find on a Monday night.
You get 3-for-1 highballs at the King's Horse in the South Side Edmonton on a Monday night.
With these bars? God. The King's Horse just sounds like
grit grinders. I'll never forget. We would go there, and you'd go with $20 and be like, yeah, I have 60 drinks, please. And they would fill your table up And it was, a disaster by the end of the night, right? Like, because your table's full of drinks. But there were nights it was 3-for-1 drinks, 3-for-1 highballs.
That's college and university, man. That's
what you're what was your college go-to where you knew every week that you were just going to be a disaster?
Wednesday night was a big one. Wednesday night, it was a big, big night because it was dollar drinks on a Wednesday night.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
If you're in a university town and you can find dollar drinks, people are going to be there. Like, it could be a Tuesday afternoon, and people are like, if it's dollar drinks, you got a packed house. And then there was a place on a Saturday afternoons where they had a power hour where you could get 50 beers for $20.
The power hour.
The power hour. Honestly, people would come pouring out of – I remember we were there on a Saturday in – like late November, early December, it was the Santa Claus parade.
Oh, no.
So the boys are coming out of there 3 hours in, power hours left, right, and center, and the streets are lined up with families. Like, there's kids out.
These guys are pissing themselves.
And guys are walking out of there absolutely tattooed. And it's like, this is not the confliction you're looking for here.
No.
Right? This is
not
this
right
is a complete oxymoron.
Yeah.
You got the Santa Claus parade and the other side of a power hour on a Saturday afternoon.
The booze bag parade.
Oh, guys are walking across the street through the parade. Santa's kicking them out. Like, it's just, it was a gong show, man.
That's
absolute
awesome.
Gong show. But that's what it is. If you find cheap drinks for college kids, university kids, whatever, people are going to show up. People will be there for sure. And you're right about sneaky nights, especially in a big city like Toronto.
Yep.
You go to New York, man, a Monday night, there's 15 different options where it's packed
house. Monday, Saturday.
Packed house. Every single night you can find something, and you walk in there and you're like, I didn't even know this place existed. There's 300 people in there getting after it like it's New Year's Eve.
But it's like Vegas. People go to Vegas from Sunday to Thursday because it's cheaper to go in and cheaper – like. So that Sunday night is an absolute circus, or the Monday night, because they're taking advantage of it. You're right. Big cities, including Toronto. I'm not on the bar circuit, and I don't even claim to ever have been on the bar circuit in Toronto. But I guarantee you there was a night for for every bar.
Absolutely.
If you wanted to go out on a Sunday in Toronto, you'd be like, hey, that, you know, go down to Queen West or whatever. Like, you know,
there's
down
a spot.
Here.
There's
yeah,
a spot
absolutely.
For you. You'll find it somewhere, man. And usually multiple options you could go
exactly.
to. So, yeah, it's just you got to have the will. You got the willpower, man. You'll find your itinerary. We'll hook you up. You'll have a calendar where you can circle any night you want, and that's the truth. The Jays back in action tonight. Tampa's in town. Scott Mitchell will join us in just over an hour. This is the polar opposite. You talk about an oxymoron. This is Power Hour, Santa Claus Parade, Orioles Rays. Like the complete opposite of what the Jays just witnessed yesterday, where the Jays dropped 22 runs in a game on the Orioles. And like if there was ever an example of a mercy rule coming into play, it was yesterday by the third inning. By the third inning, Baltimore was like, can we just stop doing this? Like, can we just play two outs an inning, one out an inning, we'll concede? It was such an embarrassing outing. But the Jays' bats are so alive right now. You can't blame them. They're just getting into the box and spraying the ball all over the place.
Two grand salamis in one day, in one game.
You're right. But who was pitching for Baltimore? Like I, you know, sometimes when a game gets out of control, it's like there's the center fielder. He's pitching because they've run out of pitchers, you know, in the eighth inning.
Yep.
Like this was early in the game. Like this is somebody who's getting paid to pitch.
Of course. Like, and you're coming off a doubleheader the day before. Like you had to leave him in. You know, you're just – if we've talked about Brandon Hyde, the manager down there. He doesn't know what to do. His team's terrible. They're District 5. It's a mess down there with the Orioles. And the Jays were on the right side of it last night, and now they are officially in the driver's seat, not only for making the wild card, but hosting the wild card game, which will drive home an even larger conversation about capacity at the Dome. Can you imagine hosting a playoff game and they can only have 15,000 people in the stands?
What about 3,000 like the Maple Leafs had?
Well, they didn't even have that. What did they end up with? Was it 3 grand that they let in? I thought
yeah,
they let in
like
2,500
or
something. No, that was the Habs let in 2,500. The Leafs only let in like 500 or 700.
Oh, yeah, it was nurses. It was frontline workers or whatever it was. You're right. It was nurses or whatever, 500. I don't
so that's
know
what it's like. We know
be.
What it's like to have to make the playoffs and have all of it going for you, and you got 500 people in there.
Right.
But they're not obviously going to be in that situation. They've been playing with, what, 15,000?
15,
which is
yeah.
so bizarre because the 15,000 are all sitting beside each other, and they're all in the same area, which is kind of weird, the optics of it, to look at it and say, what's the sense of even...
Well, how about the
that?
NFL stadium?
I was just going to say, did you lay eyes on every NFL game yesterday?
Packed out.
70,000 people.
Yep.
My wife looked at it and said, that's crazy. I just said, that's the NFL. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, they made that announcement 6 months ago. They said, there's no restrictions, no
and
masking,
we're playing.
Nothing. Just go out and play, and it's a packed barn. And it was great to witness. Like, that Buffalo crowd was going nuts in the first half yesterday.
Yeah.
And Roethlisberger pointed it out after the game last night. He's like, Chase Claypool's never played in front of fans in the NFL.
Yeah.
If you're a rookie last year, you've never played in front of fans unless you made it to a Super Bowl, you know, or went on a big playoff run. So a packed building yesterday throughout the NFL. It'll be a packed barn in Vegas tonight. This is their first home game with fans. Last year, they didn't have any fans in the stands. So Mark Davis will be there, and he'll be looking good, feeling good, doing his thing, the owner of the Raiders, and – the Raiders are a four-point dog at home. You would think John Gruden, in year three, I believe it is, might be able to be a home favorite week one. But it's a bit of a mess down there in Vegas. So we'll see what Team Al Dog has to say about that. We'll get to your pick in just over an hour. Marcellus Wiley later this hour. Harold Varner III later this hour as well. We're talking about the Leafs and me being at this wedding. You asked me any positive vibes or anyone, you know, chiming in about the Leafs. And I'm telling you, when they come up, it's generally negative right now, and that shouldn't surprise anybody. Look how they went out. You know, it's what have you done for me lately? They were up 3-1 and choked away a series against the Habs and didn't have an overly active offseason, which doesn't mean it's a bad offseason, but it's not as if they signed some superstar. You know, they just kind of went about their business and plugged in a couple of pieces, and I think Jonas was tweeting this out, Kristen, and others that Michael Bunting was on a line with John Tavares today in informal skates, so make of that whichever you will. But Ilya Mikheyev apparently wanted out. That report came out over the weekend.
Like, he is a 10-goal scorer at best, He gets more chances than basically Austin Matthews. He couldn't score if his life depended on it. He's a 10-goal scorer. What the hell is he looking for? I thought when he was in the lineup, he played a lot. Is there something I'm missing there? What does he want to be on the power play? I don't get that.
Well, here's what I would say about this opportunity this year. If he can't play himself up the lineup, that's on him. Like, right. Hyman's not here anymore. Foligno isn't here post-deadline.
Yeah, go ahead.
Play yourself up the lineup, right? Like, who right. exactly? Who are you knocking out? You weren't knocking out Zach Hyman last year. Post-deadline, you weren't going to knock out Foligno. You're a third-line guy. They played you a lot. You killed a lot of penalties. You couldn't score. You couldn't hit the broadside of a barn on
no.
a breakaway.
Unbelievable talent, like his physical talent. And as Ray described, and it's a fascinating description of like the independent type contractor where it's like not a lot of playmaking. He just zooms down the ice. He takes it to the net. And if it goes in, it goes in. But it's I don't really understand that. Sometimes if you look at a guy and say, man, that guy really deserves an opportunity to play, he never gets played, maybe go somewhere else. But this guy, I don't get that.
Well, I never saw that with him. I'm with you. I never got the impression like he was being cheated. I think he was appropriately
placed.
When
he put his jersey on, you're like, that guy's always on the ice. He never scores, but he's always on the ice. He's
right.
always out there. He kills penalties. He's out there. I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But there are some – and you can go – talk to any general manager in the league, and this isn't just hockey, but, you know, cryptically they'll say, like, some guys just, in their mind, they value themselves a lot different than...
Sure, but what does he think, Jamie? He's going to go to the Calgary Flames to score 30 goals or somewhere else?
I don't know. I think he's... Which, you know, to your guys' point, the left side is very weak. Or unknown. Let's say unknown.
There's opportunity there.
He can score 30 here if he wants to. I don't know if he could. I don't know if he can put the net.
I don't think he's capable of that right now.
But he'll get a chance to. He'll get a chance to.
That's all he needs. Like, he actually should be, if anything, he should be excited. Because he's like, Hyman's gone. Foligno's gone. Yeah, it's Bunting, Richie, Robertson.
Right.
And me. Like, that's it. You're going to get a lot of ice time. Worst case scenario, you're the third left wing on the third line. That's
which
the
was,
worst
is what he was
scenario.
Last year, and that right. was appropriately slotted. You know, I think the way he plays and the complete lack of offense that he drives, I think it might be ideal if he's on the fourth line. But, you know, maybe Keefe and he don't see eye to eye. I don't know. You know, maybe there's something deeper there. Who knows what the reasoning might be. I find it interesting that the Leafs basically just said thanks, but no thanks. Like, you know, this is a front office that tries to cater to the players and tries to make everyone feel good and feel welcome. And Mikheyev, you know, reportedly wants out. And they're like, that's just not going to happen, nor should it. You know, there's no reason for him to strong-arm anything. And there's no reason to believe he's not going to show up at camp and play and perform.
I think he can get 20 goals playing in the top as a top six role. By osmosis. Go to the net, use your speed, stick on the ice. You've got talented players that'll hit that stick and put it in the net. Like, that's, you know, Zach Hyman has evolved as a player. You know, he, in front of our eyes, the last 3 or 4 years, he evolved as a player because he settled in on that line and was like, I know exactly what I need to do to have success to help these guys out. If Mikheyev is smart and he gets an opportunity in the top six, he sits down with Tavares and Nylander and goes, this is what I, you know, what do you need me to do? I'll be here. I'll go get the puck or whatever. Like, he can have favorable stats if he settles in a top six role and is smart about it. Don't overhandle the puck, doesn't dangle. You got to realize where your role and where your lane is within that top six. And he's going to get an opportunity.
It's a good point, though, in terms of the other four guys in that grouping. Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, in reality, they don't expect anyone on the left side to compete with that talent and to compete with that competition
right.
And that production. So you're looking through you're building your lineup differently based on that. Like, that's why Hyman fits so well. Hyman did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Absolutely.
And he went up and down the boards and in front of the net and hit everything in sight and worked hard and chipped in. And then all of a sudden he's got 20 goals, you know, 20 plus. That's what they want. They don't want a guy who thinks he's going to be an all-star, you know, because I don't think they feel like that can blossom in a role like that.
They need a
role
player on that line.
You're always going to be deferring.
Right. They need a role player on that line.
Yeah.
Who goes and identifies his role and says, I'll go get the puck. I'll absorb contact to make the play. Whatever's needed, because everyone else in those groupings are defined. You know, realistically, both, you know, Tavares and Nylander, they found what makes them work. They're talented guys. You know, Tavares has got a really good shot. Nylander's got a good shot. He's dipsy doodle. Same thing. Marner's a great passer. Matthews, you need role players to play with those guys that have chemistry. That's why it was so important with Hyman. They got to find somebody to settle in with those guys. Same thing with Tavares and Nylander. You got to find and. We haven't even talked about Tavares like being back now, right? Like
as far as we know, he's 100%. He's healthy, and it's all good. I mean, there's no reason to believe that he's not. But yes, you know, in terms of what have you done for me lately? The last time we saw him, it was a gruesome injury, a really scary scene.
Wasn't good, exactly.
No, but you know, camp is still about a week away, so we won't hear from them until then. But I'm gathering the boys are in town. Austin Matthews, he posted a picture. He's got a cast on his wrist. So he's clearly, he'll be working out, he'll be skating, riding the bike, doing all that, but he's not shooting, he's not passing for another, I would think, you know, week or so anyway. So we'll see what happens with Matthews once he gets into town, but it's getting close. You know, the hockey season is right around the corner.
And I get, Hayes, what happened. I understand what happened, and it was doom and gloom last year. I just don't understand how there's just not a general excitement about hockey being back, Maple Leafs. Like, if you're just throwing in the towel before it even starts, and I guess I'm just getting maybe soft and old, but, like...
I don't think it's about that, though. I don't think it's throwing in the towel or not watching or not looking forward to it. It's, you know, there's been a lot of scars here. Like, there's
right. Sure,
they,
there
they
is.
They choked away. Like, they don't... Why would anyone be rallying for them right now? I think it's the team needs to rally, and then everyone will be on board with that. Yeah.
Well, the players can decide if they can go out there and have a good start and get people back on board again. I guess that's all that's left to happen.
Exactly. And it will. That will happen. We know the way this town works. We know the way the fan base works. They run off five in a row to start the year, and everyone's dancing. Everyone will be happy and jacked up and fired up again. And that's the reality. But I don't think you can expect that out of people today. Why would you? Why would you be loving what you've been seeing here? It'd be crazy to be an eternal optimist with this team when you consider what's been happening, you know, and how many times they've failed in the playoffs, the biggest moments.
Right. I think the word is believe, because you can talk to, I've talked to many Leaf fans. I'm like, yeah, you know, they can have a good start. Well, I don't believe, you know, what they're selling. Like, I don't, like, it's like, hey, they could do all this. Hey, you know, you got to show me. I think they have to have a good regular season, but they also just have to come together as a group. Like, this is going to be a different, I know every year you have the same core, which is the core that they're, you know, they're all in on, which is fine because they're a very good core. But it's a new group. So the new group is going to have a different look. And it's not like Spezza and Simmons. It's like, what's Nick Ritchie going to bring to the table? Because he's a different type of player than they've really had right from day one, right? All last year, the excitement was Thornton. Where's Thornton going to fit in?
Right.
He never fit in. To be honest, they tried, and looking back at what the Leafs did with Joe Thornton, he started on the first line, second line, third line, fourth line, healthy scratch, and they couldn't, second power play, they couldn't find really a spot for him, which was tough. Now you got to find that whole left side again with Hyman gone, and we talked about it. Where are guys going to settle in? What is Andre Kashe? How many people have watched Andre Kashe play a lot? No.
No, yeah, he's playing the West Coast. If he can stay healthy, he's a good player. I mean, he's
player.
A real concussion issues, and I think that's, you know, the concern is that he's got to stay healthy and be available to you. But to your point, Noodles, like, when he's played, he's put up pretty good numbers, and he's got a good reputation around the league.
Yeah,
like, there are a lot of people who believe he's a good player. So, you know, we'll see. Once they get rocking again, people will be excited for the season and hockey to be back. I think it's two separate conversations. It's you know, excited for the season, excited for this, that, or the other, but also, you know, people feel like they've been robbed by this team, and they're like, well, I'm not going to go out of my way to be so happy that you're back in town. You know, it's like, oh, my ex is back in town, and I still have feelings for them, but I'm going to pretend like I didn't see them walk into the bar. That's what it is. At least the first day of camp will be, oh, really? I didn't even know she was here. Yeah, you did. You've been tracking her Instagram stories all night. You knew exactly where she was going, and you knew she was walking in that door. And that's what's cooking. And that's what's going to be happening come day one of camp, day one of the season. Harold Varner III is in town, and he will join us, get his take on being a PGA Tour vet, hitting bombs. He's a Nike guy. He's up here. He's an RBC guy, doing work with Golf Canada as well. So we'll catch up with Harold. We're looking forward to that. Marcellus Wiley at 5:40. We'll get Marcellus in here. His take on the game tonight, his take on the game last night, and other storylines throughout week one of the NFL. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, the Jays back in action tonight. We'll tee that up down at the Dome with Scott Mitchell. Yankees tied it up late in the ninth. I think Judge hit a three-run bomb. So that's looking like it's going into extras, but we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, people aren't happy with you chirping them.
Did you hand out the kiss of death? We're like, the
Yankees are getting dummied again by Minnesota.
Yeah, I know. Well, listen, I'm just calling it as it is.
No kidding.
They were getting dummied, and I said the Jays would be hot throughout the weekend. They lost on Friday, but then they took the next three, so it's all good. Marcellus Wiley still to come. Scott Mitchell still to come. Al's brother with some explanations still to come. But we got a really cool guest on the line. We've talked about him many times. I think we picked him in the pool a bunch of times over the years. You pick him, it seems like, every couple of tournaments.
He's my guy. He's got to follow me back on Twitter, though.
Harold Varner III? Yes, okay. He's an RBC guy. He's up here. He's doing work with Golf Canada, and there's a lot of cool things going on. Here is Harold Varner III. What's up, Harold?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Thank you for doing this, man. It's great to have you in town, and as we said, we pick you a lot. We do this little pool back and forth, picking winners and try to get guys into the top five, top ten. You had a great tournament, T2, I believe it was, at the RBC Heritage. And what's it like, life on tour, man? What's how's the season been going for you?
It's good. It's good. Finished up last season pretty well, just trying to start the season the way I ended. So headed to Napa tomorrow morning. And just, you know, obviously sports are pretty wild. You just play them. Don't really control what happens, but I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about what's going to happen. I just want to win, man. A little harder than I thought, but it'll happen all in time.
How difficult is that? I mean, so many guys are out there grinding. You guys are all so talented. You got to, I mean, to score on tour and actually get the job done, it's obviously the most difficult thing to do. Is just, how does that affect your mindset, because everybody's basically doing the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, I still love it, though, man. Some people out there seem pretty miserable, and if I ever get that bad, I should just quit. But yeah, I still love the challenge. I love just being a part of the tour. I think life out there is pretty easy. You don't have to drive cars. You just basically just fly planes. They give you a brand new car, and sometimes you're right on the course, so you don't even have to drive. Room service sounds pretty good to me. I'd sign up for it again.
Yeah, that's not bad at all, man. I knew there were perks, but I didn't realize you like literally don't have to drive if you're on tour. You can just you've got it all figured out.
For the most part, it's pretty simple, man. I mean, yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would say so. With Harold Varner III. So you're up here. I don't know how familiar you are with Toronto, but we feel pretty good about our golf courses. We puff our chests out thinking that, you know, within a 90-kilometer radius, we could put our courses up against almost any city in the world.
I know. I hear it every week on tour from all the Canadians. I'm like, all right, man. But we can't even get in there to play sometimes.
I know. Well, the doors will be open, I guess, right? Next year it'll be back. Is it at St. George's, I think, go next season?
Yes, it is at St. George's. I went out there today. It's pretty awesome. It's going to be a sweet setup.
It looks cool.
Did you play the course? Did you play the course today, Harold?
No. I didn't play. I just saw it while they were doing some, like, B-rolls and while I was doing interviews. And I had lunch out there. So it just looks sweet. I mean, I like those style courses, you know, kind of. You know, a little narrow, but yeah, that takes a spin off a few shots. It was pretty undulating, it looked like, though, so I don't really like that. I'm not a big walker.
So would you, if you could ride a cart on tour and they allowed it, would you take them up on that option?
If I could ride a cart, what do you mean? Yeah, I'm fat and happy. I would love to ride a cart.
All right, you're our kind of guy. Oh,
speaking of walking. We were watching at the Wyndham. Like, how hot was it down there in North Carolina in that heat? You got to wear pants during the tournament. That's got to be ridiculous.
I went brain dead out there, so it was real hot. I mean, I made a triple. I was Yeah, I was pretty hot, literally, like, in my mind. I think that Cage Valley might have been just as hot. I don't know. I mean, Wyndham was really hot. I got sunburned, and I don't know how many black people y'all know, but it takes a lot for me to get sunburned. I've only been sunburned twice in my whole life, and that was one of them.
Yeah, that'll do it, man. It's, you see that every once in a while when you go through Texas, like the Byron Nelson, I think it is. If you're down there in the summer and it's like 105 degrees out, guys are just grinding.
I don't know, but the next day I wore sunscreen and I had on so much of it. It's just like, I mean, it's like white stuff everywhere. I didn't get any instructions on how to put that on.
Well, someone
needs to talk to Webb Simpson. Talk to your boy, Webb Simpson.
Yeah, Webb does love some sunscreen.
Yeah, he certainly does. We're chatting with Harold Varner III of the PGA Tour. You're up here doing stuff with RBC Community, the golf program, First Tee Canada. Take us through that. I mean, what are they running you through the ringer with today?
Yeah, so RBC is basically doing this community junior golf program, which is pretty similar to what we're trying to do in North Carolina, so I couldn't be any happier, you know, trying to help out up here. It's a little, you know, like, golf's obviously changed my life. It's been a great thing that happened to me. So just trying to help out where I can. I believe a lot in golf, and I believe that it can help kids in ways that we really can't do in the classroom. So when I have a chance to help out, I'm very interested, and I feel like RBC is doing it the right way as well, because, you know, in this day and age, we're really good at just checking the box, and, you know, I just don't really like that.
Well, we're big fans of it as well. We're friends with Golf Canada and people at RBC. We've been lucky enough to have a bunch of people on the show, and they all speak highly of, you know, programs like this and getting out, giving back to the community. So I think we can speak for everyone in Toronto and throughout Ontario, Canada, for thanking you for being a part of it. We look forward to seeing where it all goes. You said you're down in Carolina a lot. My understanding is you're a Panthers fan. They snuck one out yesterday, but it's against the Jets. So does it count for anything, or what do you make of a win?
The last few years have been pretty rough, so anything counts. Any win, anywhere, anytime, we'll take it. By one, by 50, we'll take them all. Yeah, it was awesome. I was still devastated from my East Carolina loss on Saturday to South Carolina. But, yeah, that cheered me up a little bit, that's for sure.
Yeah, that'll help. That'll help. And now where you say you're going next? You're out to California? Or?
Yeah, I leave tomorrow morning to go to San Fran, but headed up to Napa. I'm not really sure how far Napa's from San Fran. I've never flown in there. But, once again, you know, I got a great opportunity to do something great this week, so I'm not going to sit here and complain about it.
Yep, get after it, man. Good luck. Safe flight. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Harold.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. You have a great one.
There's Harold Varner III. Seems like a pretty laid-back guy.
I like his attitude.
He's just like, I don't really care about anything. Like,
no, yeah. I just want to tee it and make birdies and
drive
a car.
Yeah,
and
he's like, I don't do anything. I don't drive anything. It's all, everything's catered.
You want to give me a cart, I'll take a cart. I'll take the cart on the course.
Well, see, your boy Affie Barnrat was was in contention.
Choked it away. By the way, he's lost like 60 pounds. Barnrat is not giant anymore.
The Barnrat, he's got his tour card back. He was down on the Corn Ferry, like grinding this year. So he's going to be back on the PGA Tour. But they were over that Rolex, series event over in England, and Billy Horschel ends up winning it. But, yeah, the Barnrat, he was running away with it yesterday, man. He was playing well, and it's good to see, because you talk about a guy who just wants to go low, blow clouds, buy multiple pairs of the same shoe.
Oh, my God. He loves
a vape. That's Affie Barnrat.
He loves a vape. And a story came out about the Barnrat where his girlfriend found out that he had rented a second apartment just for his shoes. This guy was buying Nike shoes and had a secret apartment for them.
Right.
And the Barnrat went down.
Well, the Barnrat, he got clipped.
Yeah, but like
he got clipped.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. For your shoes, you're obsessed with buying shoes. That's what it is.
That, like, he buys multiple pairs of the same shoe to the point where he needed to rent out another apartment to basically host his shoes.
Dude, I got a little crazy. I like Nike shoes. I always have a pair of white Nike, and I got a little bit stupid during the pandemic because I'm like, you can't go anywhere. And you get down a rabbit hole on ones you like, and then there's eBay, and I was buying shoes. It was getting a little stupid.
I had an experience like that this weekend that I've never been through before, because I was at the outlets down in Niagara and walked into a spot and looked at a pair of shoes. I was looking for shoes. I haven't bought shoes in years. It's like I'm honestly just sitting around a house. I don't go anywhere. So I'm like, I'm going to go check out a pair of shoes. And I went into a store and they had a pair of shoes that I was looking for. They didn't have my size. And I asked the guy who worked there, you know, is there anything else in the bag? He's like, no, this is it. I stepped outside, went online, ordered the shoes online. So I went physically into the store, saw the shoes. They didn't have my sizing, so I went online and ordered it online while I was standing outside of the store.
It's unbelievable.
I'm like, that is incredibly modern. That is a very 2021 way of going about a purchase.
I get caught in certain ruts. Like, I have certain pair of shoes. Like, I just order four pairs of the same ones. That way, when they wear out, you throw one out and you go into the new one.
That's your thing?
That's kind of how I do.
You've got a style and you stick to it, and that's you're like Batman, yeah. Basically.
No, it's just more like I don't, you know, we have to wear suits all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I don't wear a suit, I struggle for fashion sense, because I just like T-shirt, shorts, hat, that's it. I'm done.
Well, I do think it's becoming acceptable in fashion and in society, I guess, to wear running shoes with suits. Like, you're seeing that a lot on TV.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
So I think we could get involved in that in the future.
Sure.
Marcellus Wiley coming up. His take on the game tonight, Ravens at Vegas. The Ravens are laying 4 points tonight. His take on the Rams, what Sean McVay had to say about Stafford, but really about Jerry Goff. It was as passive-aggressive as you can get. And what's up with Aaron Rodgers? What's up with the Bills? That more still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Marcellus Wiley will join us here in a moment. See, there's reports out there, rumors out there, that Jeff Bezos is interested in buying the Denver Broncos. And Bezos could pay it cash. Like, it's going to cost him, what, $4 billion, $5 billion? But what's Bezos going to bring to the table as an owner?
I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah.
You just throw cash at any, just buy everything.
But there's a cap, right? There's only so much you can really do. But it's generally a pretty good investment. You buy into the NFL. Didn't Jerry Jones buy the Cowboys for like $50 million or something? And now they're worth like $6 billion?
Yeah.
So that worked out
that
pretty
worked
well,
out
for
well for Jerry.
Worked out pretty well for Jerry.
Anyway,
we got a Monday nighter tonight. The Ravens are a 4-point favorite at Vegas. To tee that up and look back at the games yesterday, we're joined now by longtime NFLer. Hear him and see him on FS1. He joins us every week during the season. Love having him on. Here is Marcellus Wiley. What's up, Marcellus?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Week one, almost in the books. Fun times.
Very fun times. And I thought Matt Stafford looked pretty good last night. The Rams looked pretty good. The Bears are not much of a team, but everyone's trying to decipher the comments of Sean McVay, the head coach, where he said, now with Stafford, you know, there's no play that can go overlooked by us. Like, we can basically do whatever we want. Is that just like an indirect shot at Jared Goff? Is that passive aggressiveness? Is that pumping the tires of his new guy? What do you make of those comments from McVay?
I think it's just keeping it real. And unfortunately, feelings will get hurt when you keep it real. We all have our limits. No matter how great Matthew Stafford is, and he has a much higher ceiling than Jared Goff, despite the lack of playoff success or even appearing in a Super Bowl like Jared Goff. If you keep it real as an evaluator, as an assessment, yeah, you open up the playbook that much more when you have Matthew Stafford there. It's funny, I had a couple of teammates who end up playing in Detroit from 2009 afterwards with Matthew Stafford, and to a teammate, they all said, dude, it's insane how much of an arm cannon he has. And I think it just went unnoticed largely because he was on a bad team every year. And he had weapons in terms of Megatron, but it just didn't add up into overall success. So now you bring him into the program, and you're hearing it again. And then we finally got it on full display last night. Like, literally, he bootlegs, and he rolls out, throws across his body as he has perfect footwork to change his body position, which all just threw off the defense. Because even when you're defending 50 yards down the field, you're starting to think there's no way either, A, he's going to throw it here, B, he can get the ball here, or C, he's not even looking this way. And all of that occurred in a split second. He could get it there. He got it there fast on top of the receiver in Jefferson. And he did it by throwing it almost cross-body. Unreal. So, yeah, I know what McVay is basically saying. Don't read into this, Jared Goff. I'm just telling you like it is. This dude's better at this position for our team going forward.
Marcellus, we've been talking earlier in the show about the overreaction that happens on, you know, the Monday after the first weekend. Is there one situation that you would maybe pay close attention to and say, okay, that's, we're not going to overreact here, but there might be something developing here that might be on the negative, whether it be Aaron Rodgers' performance in Green Bay, Buffalo? Is there anything that kind of caught your eye, say, maybe watch that?
Yeah, it's funny. It, two parts. One, I love overreactions. And I give it to you like this. I know a lot of people caution. It's only 1 week. I'm like, yeah, but I just went to the beach this weekend. My son took some surfing lessons at this surf party. So it's funny, if you ever go to the beach, you're standing there and a huge wave hits you. Wow. And then the next wave after that, once you recover, is a small wave. You know what? No one cares about your reaction, your overreaction, your underreaction. That last wave was huge. This one, not so much. I look at it just like that when I assess football. Week one, damn, the Giants look horrible. Like, horrible. Now, next week, they could look good. It could be a small wave. But this wave, this week, the Giants are in trouble, brother. They got smashed. The bottom for that team, I'm talking about the floor of that team, is going to fall out and fall out fast if they don't fix their issues. There are a few other teams out there that look porous as well, but the Giants highlight what I would say is maybe an overreaction, because they still have talent. Daniel Jones could play. Saquon Barkley, once he gets healthy and his legs under him, obviously is a player. But boy, that team looked like a team that mentally they're going to be fried pretty soon if they don't get some good stuff going on. And if that happens, the floor is going to fall out from that team.
Well, maybe not an overreaction, but what about a look? What about the optics of Aaron Rodgers, you know, complaining to the manager all summer? And I didn't see Gutekunst out there. I didn't see Mark Murphy out there running the wrong routes, throwing awful picks. You know, he hates on the president and the GM, but Rodgers was terrible yesterday. The Packers' defense was terrible. That was a neutral site game that leaned more Green Bay. What do you make of that response by Aaron Rodgers in particular, considering his offseason?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers gave back a lot of leverage in one game, 1 week. Now, he actually had a worse game last year against the Bucs in that loss in terms of quarterback rating. And he responded the next week with four touchdowns and 132 quarterback rating. So I think he can respond. But here's what it is. Here's a student. And then he hears right when he's going home that they got a quiz tomorrow. And he just starts complaining. Oh, man, why we got a quiz tomorrow? He doesn't go home and do his work fully. He wants to play Nintendo all night. He wants to ride his bike outside. He's not fully committed to the game of football. And then the next day, he takes the test, and he doesn't do well. And we all look at him like, dude, we know you're smart. We know you're good. You're the former MVP from just last year, multiple-time MVP winner. So if it's not because of your talent, it's because of your commitment. And I tell you one thing about the NFL. They can live a lot longer with someone who's not skilled versus someone who's not trying or fully committed. You better fix this and fix this fast, because – no one has time for him to complain his way into leading this team into failure. That's what I love about football. There's no entitlement, and football will tell on you immediately. If you're 97% committed and you're in the jungle with someone who's 100% committed and capable, they're going to expose you every single time. What we saw yesterday was Aaron Rodgers taking his eyes off the prize ever so slightly, and it came back with disastrous results.
Did Pittsburgh win that game, or did Buffalo lose it?
You know what's interesting? Pittsburgh actually won that game. But I'm going to give it to you the way the Patriots taught me this lesson. The way that the Patriots play football is not concerning themselves with winning the game, but making sure they don't lose the game. So what does that typically mean? You have to have a clean game. No turnovers for Pittsburgh. Less penalties for Pittsburgh. You look at Pittsburgh, they were able to go out there and win a game that they were actually giving up more yards to the opponent than they actually gained. But that's a New England Patriot type of game, a clean game. So what they did is just played it close to the vest and hung around until finally they could capture a moment, an opportunity, a block punt, a touchdown pass from Roethlisberger late, and they took advantage of the opportunity. Buffalo should have won that game, but it's one thing to go out there and try and win. It's another thing to make sure you don't lose. And Buffalo has to mature in terms of dealing with success. They heard this entire offseason how beautiful their team looks, how talented Josh Allen is, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to put the work in. What do they say about success? You can only rent it. And you can only rent it every single day. And the rent is due every single day. So Buffalo got to pay the rent and work a little harder and dig a little deeper.
We're chatting with Marcellus Wiley. I said this earlier. I'd be curious to get your take on it. There's so many different storylines coming out of the NFL Week 1, always. Every team's got something. Every player's got something. But for me, in terms of the big picture, and that is chasing and pursuing a Super Bowl, there are two teams that sit atop the mount right now. That would be Kansas City and Tampa. And with everything that happened yesterday and everything that might happen tonight, what sticks out to me is Tampa down to ball in the hand of Brady. He charges down the field. They kick a field goal. They win. Mahomes down 12, storms back in the fourth. They win. That's what sticks out. That's what sticks out to me over the weekend. Everything else is compelling and amazing, and there's a lot of content there. Brady did it again and will continue to. Mahomes did it again and will continue to.
Yeah, I'm with you there. That moxie, that composure, that belief, it's different. And to give you a contrast, to give you something to juxtapose Brady and Mahomes with, remember when Baker Mayfield was on the sidelines and they muffed the punt and the punter didn't kick it? And Baker Mayfield, they showed him on the sidelines shaking his head in disappointment and disbelief. Then you fast forward in the same quarter, Baker Mayfield throws an interception, a game-deciding interception, a game-losing interception. And he's flailing on the ground doing a centipede like a breakdancer, right? I want you guys just to look at that emotional content versus when Tom Brady or, like you said, Patrick Mahomes is down late in the game. They're composed. Even if they lose, they still believe. It's like Baker Mayfield never read the Bible or something. Ye of little faith. And that's the difference. It's just that little subtlety of, do you believe or do you not believe? Because if without believing, you're not going to start achieving. And I think that's the difference between those greats, those next-level quarterbacks and players. Tom Brady, who knows, hey, I'm going to get the ball back. I don't know why Baker Mayfield would have that kind of spaz, that kind of reaction, when he knew he was going to get the ball back. He knew he was still going to have opportunity to win that game. And then when he did have the ball in his hand and he had opportunity to win that game, he imploded. He made the costly mistake. It's just those subtle little differences between the great and the very good.
Marcella, Chicago, the Bears have such a strong fan base. I mean, they have a big fan base like all the great organizations, the storied franchises. When, like, I just watching some of their game, and I don't think they're going to be very good. When do they just tell Andy Dalton, like just step aside and we're going to let the kid Fields take over here? Like, it's just, what are they going to be waiting for to do that?
Man, I don't know why they waited this long. It's insane. I would literally rebel against my coach. I would have so many issues with Matt Nagy for you not putting them in. And then they put them in the first series of, like, the third play or something
so
crazy.
Stupid.
You're like, come on, man. Stop teasing us. Like, what is this? Here's the thing. I remember growing up and my grandmother was teaching us how to cook. And the greatest lesson I learned from her wasn't necessarily how to cook every single ingredient and item. I remember her saying, and it was for breakfast, she was like, make sure you cook your eggs last. And I don't know why that stuck out to me, but basically she was saying it's not just what you do, but how you do it. And what they're doing is silly enough, but how they're doing it is even sillier. Like, you got that talent on the sidelines, and if you watch Justin Fields, let me give you the player perspective. He's not even in full celebration. He's not in full emotion. He keeps his helmet on. He's not saying much. You know why? He knows he will leak the truth. And he would spill the beans and say, I am so disappointed in how this is playing out. So I don't think it's going to be too long because Andy Dalton can't survive behind that bad offensive line. Justin Fields, even if he even plays. play yesterday. Justin Fields might have won that game. It was only a six-point game at half. But without Justin Fields, that team doesn't stand a chance.
Great stuff as always, buddy. We're almost through week one. We'll do it again next Monday. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care, brothers. Next week, let's do.
There he is, Marcellus Wiley. Longtime NFLer, FS1 host, TSN NFL analyst right here on Overdrive, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota. Discover your next Toyota hybrid at Maple Toyota. Come see why Maple Toyota is the best place to get yours. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland. We'll get our Monday night pick. Scott Mitchell coming up from the Dome. The Yankees came back at 1-10. I knew that was going to happen. That was a lock.
You just should have been like, Gordon Miller says there's no curse, but that was a curse.
Yeah, that was a curse. That one felt like it was moving in the right direction, and then it's turned 180 pretty quickly. Hour 3 coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.